Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, Rolene Marks with the Israel Report. Good morning to you too.
Good morning. If only you could see the big smile on my face when you say good morning.
Good. I am pleased, and especially because we have so much to talk about, so many topics this morning that we wanted to cover. But let's start off with the fact that that the United States has elected to go back to the United Nations Human Rights Council. What does this mean?
Well, as we know, the United States delegation to the UNHRC pulled out of it 3 years ago, or not as long as 3 years ago, but yes, 3 years ago, sorry.
It was 2018, so it probably is by now.
Jeez, yeah, time flies.
Yeah, when you're having
I've lost
fun.
Track of which year we are in. So yes, so 3 years ago, pulled out of the UNHRC citing biases, citing, you know, this unbelievable focus on the state of Israel, this bias against the state of Israel. It was a decision under the Trump administration. Now, we heard murmurings when the Biden administration came into being that they would, or took office rather, that they would be re-entering the UNHRC. And they have. They were elected to rejoin. This was yesterday evening. And their rationale is they believe they have to be in the room to make a difference and stand up for Israel. So the Secretary of State, who is the chief diplomat and the ambassador to the UN, falls under his remit. He says, we will work hard to ensure the council upholds its highest aspirations and better supports those fighting against injustice and tyranny around the world. And he says that it suffers from serious flaws, including disproportionate attention on Israel and the membership of several states with a gregarious human rights record. So basically what he's saying is, you know, there's too much focus on Israel at the expense of those states committing real human rights violations. And, you know, many were of the opinion when the US pulled out of the UNHRC 3 years ago, that this is probably not the best way to handle things. Yes, it's making a very, very strong statement, but don't you need to be in the room to ensure that real difference is made, that there is some kind of real fight to take place? So I suppose there's merit to each side of the argument, but I do have to say that under the Biden administration and with the ambassador from the United States to the UN, we have seen the record of standing up for Israel, just as it was under the brilliant Nikki Haley, continue the same.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see how they balance it, because it really isn't something so simple at all. It's really, there's a tsunami of anti-Israel stuff.
Yes, and you know, we hear so many times from the U.S. Secretary General Antonio Guterres and various agencies, even an agency I had the privilege of addressing, the UN Alliance of Civilizations, their dedication to fighting anti-Semitism. But, you know, we need to see, as we say in Israel here, tachlis. You know, it's not enough just to make these wonderful sound bites and statements. We actually want to see the work on the ground. And allowing for this disproportionate focus on the state of Israel doesn't send a message to Jews around the world that you are committed to fighting anti-Semitism, because we know that one of the definitions of anti-Semitism in the IRA working document is the singling out of Israel, the demonizing of Israel, the double standard treatment of the state of Israel. And we also want to see the United Nations playing a more vocal and more of a practical role around the world through its various bodies, including UNRWA, who propagates education for hate, and shutting down or not allowing for organizations like UN Watch to question organizations like UNRWA who've been taken to task for anti-Semitism, or allowing our ambassador, Ambassador Erdan, to the United Nations to show physical proof of anti-Semitism and incitement of hate against Israel, the nation state of the Jewish people, doesn't exactly send that message that we are committed to fighting anti-Semitism.
No, and you see the impact when somebody like Sally Rooney, the author, decides that her book can't be published in Israel, then kind of retracted and said no, oh, published in Hebrew, then kind of said no, well, it can be, but not if you published by a Jewish firm, basically, is what she said. Isn't this the result of exactly these campaigns?
Well, absolutely, and I'm glad you brought up Sally Rooney, because let's talk about her for a second. This is apparently a very well-known Irish author. She wrote the book that Almost Normal or Normal People or whatever was based on, a hit TV show. She's very much targeted at millennials, which is why we also care about this, because this is the next generation, this is a generation that feel very strongly about social justice issues, and we want to guard against them receiving the incorrect information or believing, you know, herd thinking. But Sally basically said that she supports the BDS movement. She's heard from brilliant people like Human Rights Watch, who's the founder, incidentally said he cannot be associated with them anymore because he can see where their agenda is going, and it's heading into anti-Semitic waters. And Batselem, who we know has been exposed for receiving their funding based on how many anti-Israel testimonies and footage they can get, regardless of whether or not they actually happened. And so she said that she will not allow the Israeli publisher, who incidentally published her other books, to publish in Hebrew. And now people said, well, you know, it's not anti-Semitic. She's taking a principled stand. No, she's not. You're targeting the only country in the world that speaks Hebrew, that happens to be the nation state of the Jewish people. You're targeting your Israeli fan base. You know, this is art. Art is supposed to be about the exchange of ideas and building bridges. And then she said, you know, she would be happy to publish as long as this is a BDS-approved Israeli
No,
publisher.
You're making this up. You're making this up.
I am not making this up.
BDS approved. Is that like the OU or the Beth Din stamp? BDS approved. Right. What is their, what is their symbol? I would I shudder to think.
Well, I think your head has probably gone to the same place where my head has gone,
right.
To what their symbol is. But that's what
they've got centuries of history to be able to draw from in terms of symbols, don't they?
They absolutely do. But don't worry, everybody. In case you were worried about Sally Rooney not making money in China, Russia, or other countries around the world, Iran, she publishes in Chinese in various dialects, in Farsi and in Russian. Just saying. I mean, you know.
Well, the argument is different, because there you don't want to prejudice the people of the country, right?
In case they don't buy your book, Howard.
That might be the other thing. Yeah, absolutely phenomenal. The hypocrisy is just, the stench of hypocrisy, absolutely awful. Can we please talk about this Hamas member's son helping to write the UK Labour Party's resolution against Israel? It's not, it feels like April Fool's Day today.
It does feel like April Fool's Day, and as you know, that's my birthday, and there'd be no presents forthcoming, so I know it's not April Fool's Day. I don't even know where to start with this, but according to a NGO called the Israel Advocacy Movement, the IAM, they did an investigation into the recent motion or resolution that was passed at the UK Labour Party conference just a couple of weeks ago. It was adopted, and it basically says that the Labour Party acknowledges that Israel is practicing apartheid and calling for strong sanctions. Now, the fact that it was sponsored and co-written by the son of a Hamas official, it's almost like a parody, considering the way that Hamas operates within the Gaza Strip. They make the very big accusation that Israel's practicing apartheid, but I don't know how it. Have you seen any political opposition in the Gaza Strip? Have you seen journalistic freedom in the Gaza Strip? Have you seen equality for women in the Gaza Strip? Do you see any other religions present in the Gaza Strip? Are you or I allowed to enter the Gaza Strip? I mean, we can go on. The list is endless. But son of Hamas official Dr. Mufid al-Mukhalalati, I had some practice saying that, has been acknowledged as the drafter and sponsor of this motion, along with another group, and I kid you not, the Palestine Solidarity Campaign, and this Palestine Solidarity Campaign, or PSC, has been called out for practicing gross anti-Semitism in various countries, including the United Kingdom, which is quite ironic because, hey, so has the Labour Party. What a shocker. Mm.
There hasn't really been much said lately about this. Has the Labour Party just tried to bury all of this under the carpet? We know that Corbyn is still around and an active member of the Labour Party. What is going on there?
Well, I think it's a case of mixed signals, because Keir Starmer took on the helm of the Labour Party saying we're going to stamp out anti-Semitism. And, you know, again, it's like the example we just spoke about with the United Nations. We want to see Tachlis. Posing against the background of, or the backdrop of, a Palestinian flag during May this year, while there's rising anti-Semitism in the United Kingdom, does not send the overwhelming message that you are doing something to fight anti-Semitism within your ranks, or that you will not allow it within your ranks. Allowing for a terror organization that your own country, where, that you are the head of the opposition of, that your own country, where you serve in the government, acknowledges as a terror organization, allowing now the PSC and a son of Hamas, not the good son, Howard, the other son of Hamas, to co-sponsor this kind of resolution doesn't exactly send the message that we were hoping that the Labour Party would be sending.
Absolutely. Absolutely bizarre. And finally, can we just talk about for a few minutes the cyber attack at Khadera Hospital? What was the story there?
Well, I thought I was watching like an episode of Grey's Anatomy or something. But yeah, the hospital, the Hillel Yaffe Medical Center in Khadera, was a victim of a major ransomware attack. It is the biggest cyber attack in history on our healthcare system. And according to a spokesperson, they still don't know the extent of the damage. He said that staff were working around the clock to try and resolve it, to try and work off the main systems. I mean, if you consider in today's medical world, especially while there's still a pandemic going on, how dependent we are on the computers, on the administration, on all of those systems, on all of the technology network. And for this to be attacked at this time is absolutely horrendous. And he said that, you know, the hospital has still have issues just a couple of days later, but they have to do whatever they can now to try and resolve it and to look for solutions to guard against the possibility of more. But as you can well expect, other medical centers, other big hospitals are on full alert now for any kind of possible cyber attack.
Yeah, it's a very real concern, this, and we're seeing more of this happening. In fact, we do have a little bit more time, so I just want to ask you about Aliyah Week. Is this a thing that happens? Does this happen every week, every year in Israel?
Well, this is a new thing that's been inaugurated over the last couple of years, and it coincides with the Parashat Lech Lecha, which Dr. Marburg spoke about so beautifully in the introduction, that Avram was commanded by Hashem, gather your people from the north, the west, the east, and the south, and go to the land that I will show you. And Aliyah is very much looked at as fulfilling Lech Lecha, fulfilling this mitzvah. And of course, it's not for everybody. It's not easy. But this week we are celebrating the Olim, including myself and many South African families, as well as those from around the world who've made the decision to come and live in Israel.